When the red, red Robin comes bop, bop, bopping along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts dropping his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyheads, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields.
For Heritage Cast 22, I'm delighted to be joined by a player who, despite making just 42 appearances for Hulkington Rovers, will go down as one of the most popular players in recent memory. We've been playing a major role in the resurgence of the Robins. A scorer and creator of memorable tries, Ethan Ryan is a player who plays at full tilt with no quarter given. In this Heritage Cast, Ethan discusses his journey from amateur club West Bowling to the heights of professional rugby league with Hull KR. And remember, there's also another 21 Heritage Cast for you to listen to with the Red Robin podcast, talking to the likes of Justin Morgan, John Doherty, Dave Hall and Michael Dobson, to name just a few. These are all available from all the main podcast providers. Just search Red Robin Podcast Heritage Cast. Ethan, it's great to have you on the Red Robin podcast, Heritage Cast, a player who I know is a firm favourite with the supporters. Of course, you've moved on to Pastures New, but of course, we want to hear about your story at Hulkington Rovers and how you got into rugby league in the first place. I mean, Ethan, when you look back on your career and you look at where you started, how did you get into rugby? Why didn't you play football, cricket? You know, because you know in the north, there's plenty of opportunities to play plenty of different sports, isn't there? Why was it rugby league for you, Ethan?
Thanks for having me on, mate. Appreciate it. Good to sort of talk a bit of RL. I first started playing rugby initially when I was in school. Played a bit of tag rugby and eventually took it on to play for my local team. I lived in Queensbury with my mum and dad, and me and my best mate Brad, his dad was Brendan Hill. He played at Queensbury, so I went and tagged along. Brendan's other lad, Danny, he were coaching, so it sort of made that a little bit easier, sort of transition, and he told me that I should start playing, so that's what we did, and played an age group above what I should have done to start with, because I didn't have an age group. We were struggling for like numbers and stuff at that time with Queensbury, so I think I played in under 13s, but played in the under 14s. We did that for about 2 years, and then unfortunately that team folded, and I needed somewhere to go and play, and a lot of the lads who were on scholarships and stuff were at West Bowling. And my mate Brady went and played there. So I did what I did before and just went and followed him. Went down to play for West Bowling. And I think my first season with them were under 15s. I never really had any like intentions of ever making it to any sort of level, because I wasn't really that good, if I'm being completely honest. I don't know. It's one of those things where I just gradually just took on board things, learned, and just sort of gone with it. And I think it was about a season into my time at West Bowling. The coach at the time, Frank Levy, he's done bits at Bradford and Keighley and stuff, so in the service area and stuff like that. He got me a scholarship at Keighley Cougars, if I remember rightly. And I did that for a year, and then he got me on, and then when I was playing there, I then got moved on to the Bradford Bulls under 16s scholarship. And then it was a bit of a weird one, really, a bit of a roller coaster, because then Bradford actually let me go after that. They didn't sign me for their academy team, just told me that they keep an eye out, keep monitoring me. So then I went back to Keighley, played reserves, which were interesting, really, because back then the reserves comp were really like it were quite physical, and I were only 17 at the time, and it were like you're playing against teams that have got like some pretty good players in, and I learned a lot. Every week was sort of a very, very tough game, and you were on receiving end of quite a high scoreline some weeks, but I did quite a lot of, it was good to be sort of involved in such a standard at such a young age, if that makes sense. But so then did that for a year, and then I had a bit of a decision to make because Bradford wanted to sign me back on a trial for the academy. So I could either stay at Keighley or go and have a chance at a trial in the second year of the academy, which is what I did. And then I managed to get through the trial, get a contract, and then assigned for the year after. And then that's when I got a contract offer for a year in the Bradford Bulls first team. So yeah, it was a bit of it wasn't always smooth sailing. It was a bit of quite a rocky road, to be honest. But like I said earlier, it was just sort of one of those things where you take on board things that have been said, try and improve with the coach you've got at the time, and I think that's what allowed me to sort of, you know, come back to, well, first of all, get back to Bradford, and then sort of manage to get into the first team there.
Yeah, I mean, I look at my lad now, he's only seven, and he's playing, and he sort of gravitates to the wing, to the fullback area. Did you naturally sort of find yourself in that position? Because obviously, if you look at you now, you're probably not prop size, are you? So was you always that size, and did you sort of just naturally gravitate to them areas of the pitch?
Yeah, I think, well, when I first started playing, I was dead skinny. Really fast, really, really skinny. Not changed, really. But, I always sort of got put on the wing. And then, I don't really know when I started playing fullback. I think I started playing fullback at West Bowling. And it were when, I don't really know. I can't really recall when it was. But then I just started playing a couple of positions, and across my whole time in like the academy, and even my time at Bradford, I got played in quite a few positions, whether it was centre, wing, fullback. I've done quite, obviously wing. I'd say wing's my sort of main position, but given the past couple of years at Rovers, especially, like I really enjoy playing fullback, and I'd consider like wanting to move there permanently, to be honest, because. It's one of those, you get a bit more freedom whilst playing and stuff, but yeah, they were sort of always my positions, because in terms of like skill, obviously you need a lot of that playing halfback and stuff like that, and they were never really my strong points. I could catch really high kicks, and I think that's why wing and fullback were sort of the ones that I got plonked in when I was a bit younger.
Yeah, and you're not the only Robin to play at West Bowling. I mean, we'll come on to that about when you signed for Old Kingston Rovers. But Elliot Minchella, Ruin Milnes, Matty Staunton, I think Joe Keyes as well. I mean, were they at West Bowling as well?
Keyesy won, but the rest
was
of the
boys. Was he?
No, he didn't. Just the four of us. But yeah, I played with Minnie actually in the same team, because Minnie was the same. He played an age group above. Joe and I played for Queensborough. He played at West Bowling in the same team, that age group, but even though we were both playing a year above. And then when I moved to West Bowling, I think Minnie moved to Siddle. And then he came back, I think it was under 17s or 18s. We actually played together then at West Bowling, because they were an age group then for us, obviously, at that club. So we played together, and then obviously Stoz and Rowan were a few years younger than us. But yeah, it's a good club. Like you just look at some of the players that have actually come through there. Obviously, Jake Truman played there, Elliot Whitehead. There's a load that you can reel off. And like I say, it's a really good amateur club. And then at the time, sort of when Queensbury folded and that opportunity came to go there, it was probably a good blessing in disguise, really. Do you know what I mean? Just because of the calibre of the club and the attention it gets.
I was going to say, was
West Bowling in that area, was that the club to be at? If you wanted to really, if you was that good, is that the club that would either come in for you, or that's the club you wanted to play at?
Yeah, there were a few dotted around the area, and don't get me wrong, it wasn't just everyone played there, but I remember when I first came, there were a lot of their lads there. They were already on scholarships with Bradford. I think, if I'm remembering back, I swear there were about 10, 8, 8 or 10 lads from West Bowling who were in the under-15s. That were when I were at Keighley. So I sort of saw it as that's what I can sort of strive to get to, do you know what I mean? And like I said, I think that's when I started actually taking rugby and thinking, oh, we're a good team here, and I'm actually a part of that good team playing well, and sort of people around you telling you that you could probably go that one step further, and eventually that's what we did.
Yeah, and you'll have seen it as well, Ethan, especially being at Rovers now with some of the young kids who are coming out of the academy into the first team. I mean, when you're 16, 17, 18, you sort of have to make some tough decisions, don't you? Whether it's college, A-levels, apprenticeships, or whether you think you actually might be able to make it in rugby and make the step up to professional. I mean, did you have other opportunities to maybe do something different, or did it just sort of naturally, the rugby pathway come your way?
Well, to be honest, I were quite lucky, I think. I mean, I don't know if it's running differently now, but whilst being in the academy, I'm sure you had to be doing something else. You had to be either studying college on the college course that they provided, or working, or in some sort of further education. And I went to sixth form, and I managed to go through sixth form, get my A-levels, and then I went to uni after that. So it were always something I did on alongside as well. So it's weird. And I have this conversation with my wife, well, not a lot, but it comes up sometimes because she's recently got a new job. And we say it all the time that whilst other lads, when we were like teenagers, went out and got jobs, I were always in education. So I never actually did anything when it comes to actually working. So all I've ever done really is rugby. Which is strange to think, really, because I'm like I said earlier, I'm 27, and it's weird that I haven't actually, done anything. Do you know what I mean? It's really strange. Because I know a few of my mates have done; they've had jobs. But like I said, I went to uni for 5 years, got a degree instead of doing that, and I managed to do it alongside rugby, which I'm really happy that I did, sort of thing.
Yeah, and you'll experience that firsthand at Bradford, of course, sort of a downturn in fortunes for the club in terms of where there was at the time, players part-time, et cetera, you know, people who were maybe on tools and stuff like that. I mean, what kind of environment was that like for you, a young lad to go into, trying to sort of forage his way into the game? But obviously there's experienced pros there as well, and a club who was looking to rebuild and get back to, hopefully, Super League one day.
Yeah, so when I were in the academy, they were still in Super League Bradford. And then that's when my first year, well, my breakthrough year, almost like I was training with the first team and the academy sort of thing. So my first year, that's what the first year in the champ. And then that was the £1 million game. We got to £1 million game. But coming into that squad, you just thought that they were going to instantly bounce back up. It was one of those things. You'd get to, I think it was the middle eights at the time, and then the £1 million game. And when we lost that game, it was just sort of like a wow, you know what I mean? You didn't know if that was going to be the one and only chance and all that sort of stuff. And then that's when I sort of come into the team that next year. But that next year, I think, I'm not sure if it was that year or the year after, when obviously the money troubles started. And then, like I said, it went from being like a full-time training through the day thing, switching it straight over to the part-time where you're sharing, like, I mean, I managed to stay full-time through it all, which were, because they had like a mixture. But yeah, you shared, then it went from like, but we're still trained on like afternoons and evenings. So it were a weird one. It was like a weird shift. I think I did 2 years of both at Bradford, where two of the years were full time, 2 of the years were part time. But yeah, it was a strange one.
But I mean, fortunate for you as well. And obviously, it speaks, you know, it tells a lot, doesn't it? How much they thought of you at the time that you was on a pro deal. And obviously, I mean, selfishly, you'd say you benefited from that you know, downturn in fortunes. But, you know, I think Bradford's one of the clubs that we all hope get back to Super League and back. I mean, I remember when there's playing Leeds and the derbies and, you know, the game, it was absolutely huge, wasn't it? Bradford Bulls, Leeds Rhinos, yeah. You know, one of the biggest clubs around. So we all hope that they get there. But ultimately, that downturn in fortune gave you the opportunity to get into the first team and play. And I mean, when you did play, wow, you took your opportunity. Was it a seamless transition into first team rugby, or you know, did you find it difficult, or was you almost just thrust into it?
It was tough. It was really tough because I had Jimmy Lawes as my coach at the time, and it was very. Tough coach to be under, sort of thing. We didn't always see eye to eye sometimes, but ultimately, given my debut and my first chance to play,
that's really interesting. I was going to say, because I mean, Jimmy Lawes, you didn't see eye to eye. How did you do? Because he's a player who's been there, done it. You know, he's. I can imagine he'd be very difficult to. You know, I'm sure he's put his opinion across to you, but for a young lad like yourself, who's sort of foraging his way into the first team to not go toe-to-toe, but put your point across and be listened to. I mean, that must have been a difficult time, or did you?
I mean, I sort of just, I was sort of the quietest one there. I didn't really say much, you know what I mean? I just got told. It was one of those things where I just wanted to, if he had something to say to me, I'd take it on board and listen. I got bollocked a few times, which were, just part of it, I think, being it, and I know that now because obviously we've got young lads in our team. And it's one of them things they almost get like sticks sometimes, you know what I mean? They do it, yeah. It's just one of those things. It's almost like an easy out to bollock them sometimes, which is a shame. But and I get it now, I get why that happened to me a little bit. But there were me and one other lad who got signed from the academy to the first team. There were only two of us that year, and Jimmy really, really loved this other lad who I come through with. And I had to sort of stay and be patient to make my debut. And then that's when it started being a bit of a whirlwind, because about 3/4 of the way through the year, I didn't really play. I think I played twice. And That's when Rowan Smith came in to Bradford. And then I got told, I think at the time as well, I were only on a 1 year deal. And I got told that I'd be going out on loan to get some game time. So I was looking for clubs, looking for loan moves. And then I actually got the opportunity to play in a game after he told me that he was going to loan me out, Rowan. And then I played, and then I played for the rest of the year, which were one of those. It's like you said, so I sort of took my opportunity. We're both fans when it came to it. We were playing some really good stuff at the back end of that year, and I think if stuff had been a bit different, we could have probably even pushed for promotion that year, which is a shame. But it were good, because I didn't think I was going to play much, and then I had a really strong end to the year. Ended up signing another 2 years, but then obviously that let next pre-season when administration happened. So it were good, but for a very short period.
The funny coaches, aren't they? Because you never know whether you're doing the right thing. You don't know if you're doing the wrong thing. You're almost left guessing at you, and you go about your business trying to just be natural to yourself, but you're never quite sure, are you? And sometimes you think you're doing something that they don't like, or sometimes you do something that you think they won't like and they like it. It's a bit of a guessing game, isn't it, with coaches sometimes?
Yeah, it is. And I think it's got a little bit easier with age, but it's one of those things. I've under every coach that I've ever had, I've tried to adapt the best I can. And because ultimately they're your boss, and if you're not playing how they want you to play, then the face don't fit, do you know what I mean? So it's one of those, like, I've had quite a lot of coaches now. I've been playing, this will be my 9th year now coming into, but in that time I've had a lot of coaches. So, and I'd say under quite a lot of them, I've managed to sort of mold. I mean, not too many things change, but I've managed to just mold into their systems and almost try and push myself to the front of the queue.
Yeah, I mean, signed for the Robins in 2020, and it's no wonder, is it? I mean, 2016 Bradford, 14 appearances, 16 tries. 2017, 23 appearances, 17 tries. And that 2018 season, I mean, 30 appearances, 36 tries. 2019, 31 appearances, 19 tries. I mean, it's no wonder you came to the attention of a number of Super League clubs. It was Rovers who picked, I think, a few others to get you signing. I mean, then times at Bradford, when you look back, obviously as a young lad, scoring tries, playing regularly, it must have been a real highlight for you to be able to do that. And let's not forget that assist. You know, what's gone down in folklore. I mean, if anyone wants to YouTube Ethan Ryan's assist, I mean, good times, fantastic memories, and ultimately it's what's propelled you on to your career now.
Yeah, 100%. And we got, I mean, when we got relegated to League One, it were almost, I had the opportunity to leave, actually, and go to Lee. And at the time, with a different agent to what I am now, and we got that deal organised, but I were in a bit of a situation where, because Lee got relegated from Super League that year, so it were either help Bradford get back up to the Championship and then hopefully try to push them to Super League, or do I go to Lee, who are going to be playing the Championship, where I believed that Bradford were going to be in a year's time. So it was a really, like, tough decision to make, and I didn't really know what to do, and I had I only had a very short time to decide what to do, because I'd already signed at Lee. So, but when relegation happens, your contract needs to be renegotiated and stuff like that. But I ultimately decided to stay with Bradford, and then that year was, well, looking back and looking at my, like, career since and all that sort of stuff, it's one that I'll always be really, really fond of. It were like a really good group of lads, and it were weird that it were a league where like, 1 week you'd be playing a really, really tough game, like, say, against York. Newcastle were really good that year. Oldham had a good team. The other week you'd be playing against a team where you could put 100 points on. Like, it was so weird. But it were a really good year. A lot of good memories with a lot of great guys, you know what I mean? So, but like you said, after that, I sort of, after that year, I went with my new agent, and then, like, I managed to have another quite strong year in the Champ. I think we just missed out on a playoff place that year, and then a couple more things happened with the club, which I were out of contract anyway, and I just wasn't really happy with how it was going in terms of stuff off of the field. It was always a bit of a guessing game as to when you were going to get paid, if it were going to be on time, if things were a little bit dodgy, you know what I mean? And ultimately, when I got my new agent, he said, look, come May the 1st, mate, I'll have a Super League offer for you. Like, I'm very, very confident of that. And so I rode with that a little bit, and I sort of, Bradford wanted to keep me and stuff, and then I sort of waited till May the 1st to see if I'd get any offers, and I did. So again, it were another really hard choice to make. Do I stay with Bradford? And ultimately it's my team that I supported when I were a kid. And do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of emotional attachment. So it were a really tough decision. But looking back now, 4 years later, it's obviously one that I'm glad I've made, because I managed to play for Rovers for 4 years and obviously play Super League, play at Wembley. So, like, it's those things that you sort of look back on, and you are glad that you've done it, and you always keep an eye on Bradford. I do anyway, to see, and you hope them all the best, sort of thing.
Yeah, of course. And you made the move to Rovers in 2020. I mean, did it smooth the path, the fact that you weren't the only Bradford player to be moving over? There was already, you know, Minchella, Joe Keys, Madotti, Staunton, Milnes. Was that, you know, there's a big thing about the Bradford bus. Did that make it a lot easier for you to move over to the Robins?
Well, it was weird because at first none of them were moving. So initially, I think I signed with Hull, I think, at the beginning of June. And yeah, at that time...
Ethan, it's never Hull.
Sorry, mate.
I'm messing, mate. It's never, yeah.
I get it. but nah, I signed with Rovers I think it was in June. And it were... So them boys were still all in contract.
Yeah.
So I ultimately made that decision based on... like I say, it was a really tough one, yeah. And then it got to the end of the year, and I was still under the I was going to play for Ireland, and I was still under the impression that I was the only one going, and I think so were everyone else. And then I think something happened within the club with Bradford, which allowed players to leave, or something to do with the contracts, that where they could leave if they wanted to leave. And I'm not sure if Rovers ended up paying a fee for the other lads. I'm not too sure, but yeah. So they ended up. I think Keezy and Minnie had the same agent at the time, and I think Anne, Rowan, and Stozza, they all had the same agent, which was the same as mine. And it was weird. My wife were giving me and Keezy a lift to the airport to go fly out with Ireland to, I think we were going over to Spain to play them. And he said it in car to me. He goes, "Oh, I might be signing at Hull, you know, well, Rovers." And I went, "What?" I was like, it were a bit of a shock. I thought he was joking. Like, I didn't believe him. And then he was being deadly serious. And he said, "I think Minnie is too." And then out completely out of blue, there were five other lads who, obviously, it came with me, and it made me feel a lot better, because I was knowing that a lot of my mates are going over with me. So day one of pre-season, all that sort of stuff, meeting a new team, it made all that a lot easier. But we got told off when we actually, like, first couple of weeks, because we always used to sit together in changing rooms, or when we went for breakfast and all that sort of stuff, and Tony told us that one of that were one of that to sit together and stuff. It was funny, but we were just sticking to together, do you know what I mean, at the time. And if you look back from that day one to what, like, we hate each other now, sick at sight of each other, do you know what I mean. But nah, it were good that I had all them, and obviously we all traveled over together and stuff, so it were yeah, very very fun memories.
Yeah, I mean, fast forwarding a little bit, the fact that, you know, players, you know, I think Minchella, I think Matty moved over, you know, Roy Milnes moved over to Hull. I think the club made a big thing of it, but you must have had some laughs in that car on the way from Bradford to Hull. But how sick of it did he get as well? Because I hate driving, whether it's 30 minutes, never mind driving, what, an hour and a half down the road?
Yeah.
And an hour and a half back.
The thing is, I think it helps with who you drive with.
Who was the driver?
Well, we all swapped.
You all swapped?
Yeah, we all took it in turns. It was like a rotation. So, but ultimately, I think that's why Minnie, Stoz and Rowan, they all moved over, because I think the travelling just got a little bit too much for them. Like, they didn't like it. I think that the pre-season, I'm not sure what year it was, I think it was the year we got to the semi-final of
2021,
right? Yeah. So it was that year, I think Minnie decided that it didn't really like the travel and stuff, and the other boys agreed. And so they looked at moving over, but just before I signed with Rovers, I moved into a house, and I don't know, we were sort of happy where we were, and it's 10 minutes from my mum and dad's, it's 10 minutes from Hall's mum and dad's, so it were a tough one, really. We didn't really know what to do, And yeah, it were a weird one. And I thought the length of deals I were on and all that sort of stuff, I thought it wasn't really right for me. Otherwise, I would have done. But ultimately, we decided to stay. And listen, I got used to the driving. I'm not going to lie. It became a thing where you just get on with it. And obviously, it helps with the people you've got in your bus. Like this year, we had me, George King, Sam Wood, and Phoenix. And great bus. Like every day is a laugh. Do you know what I mean? It really is. And it makes it a whole lot easier. And like if you were doing it every day by yourself, that's a different story because that'd be really hard. The people around you make that bearable.
Yeah, I mean, it must be a laugh. If Phoenix, is he driving?
Very poorly, but yeah.
No wonder it's a laugh then.
Yeah, so we had to actually pick Phoenix up for quite a while when he first signed at the club. So we had to, he rode his bike to a meet point that was just off at motorway in Morley, and then we picked him up every day, and then we told him, look, eventually, mate, you're going to have to start doing your lessons and getting your driving test done because this ain't going to carry on. And he did, to be fair, when we got on with it. And he's driving now, but there's been a few close calls with him.
What a character. Absolute character. I mean, that first season, Ethan, at the Robins, I mean, coincided with COVID. I mean, you've got, you know, a fantastic move, Super League, you know, elite level sport, and then COVID comes and hits us. What a strange old season that was, wasn't it? I mean, on a personal level, how did you cope with the fact? I mean, what was it, 4 months you weren't allowed to play rugby league? But it wasn't just that as well, was it? Because we was all gripped with our families, you know, worried about what might happen. And the fact also that your job is in such a public space and you know, such a contact sport where you're physically with people, and we're all told not to be close to anybody. It must have been a really funny time for you.
Yeah, it was. It was tough as well because just before lockdown, my dad were ill. So it were a weird, weird time for me. We're locked down and COVID and stuff, and I didn't enjoy it at all. I know a lot of people might have liked the fact that they were off for a long time, but looking back now, it wasn't something that I really enjoyed, to be honest. And so when we were come back to training, when it all resumed, like, I were really happy. That's what ultimately, like, what I wanted to do and what I'd signed for that year and all that sort of stuff. So I think coming back then was really positive for me afterwards. But yeah, weird time for everyone, wasn't it? It were one of those you can't really imagine it ever happening, and it did. So it were definitely a weird one.
Yeah, but during that season you made your try scoring debut for the Robins against Wigan. I mean, hit the ground running. I suppose that's what any player wants to do, especially playing your position, is to make a mark on the debut. And how did you find the step up in terms of pre-season and then going into a Super League environment? Was it an easy transition or did you find it difficult?
So the first year was really weird because obviously we'd gone from, like I said earlier, Joe training in the afternoons and evenings. So we've gone from doing that to us getting up at 5 a.m. every morning, getting in a car, getting up motorway. And I'm not going to lie, that first year, traveling were the toughest one because you've got to get used to it. You've got to sort of become accustomed to driving 70 mile to Hull and 70 mile back every day. There were long days. We weren't getting back we're waking up at 5, sort of setting off to training, doing the long days, coming back. I think some days we'd get back at about 6 o'clock. So, and like I mentioned earlier, to anyone else, that's a normal working day. In a rugby league world, like, it's not very often that you'd have to do that if you lived, because obviously the Hull lads, all them, that they'd be waking up a lot later than me and getting back a lot earlier than me. So in a rugby league world, that's a very long day, do you know what I mean? So and obviously the training that you're doing is really exhausting, so it takes it out of you. So it were really tough one, that first pre-season. The content might not have been the hardest like I've ever done. in terms of, you know, like the running and all that sort of side of stuff. It's that first year anyway. But it was more the travel and stepping up again to the speed of things and to the physicality of things. So I think that's why it sort of were the hardest point at that time. So like you say, after that year, you sort of get used to it then. And then obviously the intensity becomes sort of normal again.
Yeah, I mean, as well, when you signed, Ethan, there was a number of other players who signed at the same time, not least Sean Kenny-Dowell. You saw Dean Hadley, Jez Litton. I mean, they all came into the team at the same time. Did you notice, a step up in terms of the intensity and the expectations around you as a young lad coming into, or a youngish player coming from Bradford, to say, like, was you accepted into the fold straight away, or did you have to sort of go back to when you first got into the side at Bradford, or was you accepted straight away as, no, Ethan Ryan's a first team player and he's in?
Nah, it were, you saw about to start again. And I knew that had happened. I knew that I wasn't going to be coming to Rovers and sticking a starting squad number shirt on, do you know what I mean? It were always going to be that, starting that process again, and that were a big sort of factor in my decisions to first come, because I knew that I were going to go from playing, like I said, probably on average about 25 games a year to probably not so many at first. So it were a tough one, but I knew that, why not give it a shot? What have I got to lose, you know what I mean? So and that was the sort of the thing behind it. There were a lot of learning the first couple of years that I spent at Rovers, and I'm really thankful that I got to see stuff in a different way almost under Tony and Mags and Hodge and obviously Stan. It were there were a lot of like different stuff that I learned, and it were like, I'm really thankful to them all, because there's a lot of stuff that I've learned in them years that I still sort of apply in my trade now. So it were good. It were almost sort of, you had to just be a sponge for a little bit, you know what I mean? And just absorb everything around you and all the tips and tricks that everyone's teaching you.
And was it, that's it, you got your first, I mean, you got your wrist injury, didn't you? I mean, you played what, 6 games? Was that the first time you've had that injury?
Yeah, honestly, it's a nightmare. Like, them injuries, like, I go on about it all the time, and they're not even right now. So it's, we played in Challenge Cup away. I think it was against Leeds, and we got hammered, and I thought I broke like my hand at the time, and it were my scaphoid and my wrist, and yeah, it were a weird one, because you had to go into a cast for just like a normal broken bone and be treated. I mean, they make the bone, it's tiny, it's only about that big in your wrist, because I think you've got about 8 bones in your wrist, and it's a tiny thing, but it turns out that in your body the blood supply to it is really, really bad, so the healing process of it is not always the best. And I got told that at the time, and I think I was speaking to Greg Minikin about it when we first did it, because I think his brother had a lot of problems with his wrists as well, and he was saying, nah, his didn't heal. And I was thinking, ah, surely I'll go in this cast and it'll be fine. And anyway, I did, and came out of it, and it wasn't fine, and I was just really struggling. And it got to the point where I had to go get it looked at again, and it turned out that it hadn't healed. So I had all this time in a cast. I think I actually came back and played a few games in between that. And then I had to then get it grafted, which is obviously where the packed bone from what was my ulna, I think it was, further down, and they packed the bone and they put a screw through it. So they did that, and it healed. It felt really, really good, and I was really, really happy. Training, did everything I could to get back in the team training wise, and I think the week that I could be fit, we had Wigan at home, and as a team we were playing really well that year, and we had Wigan at home, and I got told I was going to be playing back in team, really happy, buzzing, and played that game, and I remember I made a I made a break down the right side and I went to pass a ball back inside and we ended up scoring. But as I threw the ball, I got tackled and my other side, so this, my right wrist, went underneath me. And bearing in mind my other one, my left wrist, my right wrist went underneath me. I just smacked it on the floor. And then in my first game back, I did the exact same injury on the other side. Like, you just, you literally can't write it. And it were the same process again, going to cast, which I was obviously gutted about because I'd come back. I was really happy with where I was at, training-wise, physical-wise. Like, I thought we were going to finish year well, all that sort of stuff. And to be told that that was going to probably be my last game that year, which, in fact, it was, were really, really gutting. So I feel like it were a bit of an annoying ride at the start because it were hit and miss, you know what I mean? Where yeah. I feel like if I were fit, I'd have been playing. Which is, it's quite annoying, really, because I'd have liked to have played more games for Rovers, and I feel like I could have got a lot more games out of it. But anyway, I went in this cast and for another 8 week, came out of it and didn't feel right on that side either. So we went and had it looked at a few weeks later. Turns out that that side needed grafting too. So again, going for the operation, packed the bone out of my arm into the wrist bone and put a screw through it. And then obviously we get to, and that's like a long process. It's like 3 months to recover from a bone graft because you've got a lot of time for the bones to sort of mush together and form. Anyway, got to the end of that and it's still, I don't think it were right. Well, I know it wasn't right. But back then, like when I came out of it, I was that sick of being in a cast and being thingy. I just thought I'd tried to get through it. And I did. I played all last year and with little, never knowing that it won't not healed. You know what I mean? It were almost like it just a bit sore. Never really had like the full range that I had before or the range that I had in the side that I'd had done and it healed. But I always had just like little problems with it. And so I played, from when I came out of it, I played all like that year. And then I think we first came back with the Hull derby. We played them at our place on the Good Friday that year. Then I played obviously the rest of that year. That's when I got my most appearances in, and then it sort of took us into this year. So, really annoying injuries that you just can't seem to help really. But I just had to take them on the chin and still do what I can. And I'm just happy that I managed to play the games that I did and be involved with the teams that I was at my time there. But like I say, if it weren't for them, I think I'd have played a lot more games for Rovers.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a tough injury because, you know, a lot of injuries are to do with you can help yourself by building your muscle up around bones and also your wrist is, it's not anything you can do, is it? I mean...
No, exactly. Exactly.
It's a tough one. I mean, how important... I mean, supporters will wonder sometimes when you suffer a serious injury or you're out for a long time, like what the club does to then support you through that period and I mean, as an individual, I mean, you don't want to be cast aside here. You want to be part of the team and stuff like that. And I wonder what the club do to make you part of it or the coach does, what Tony Smith does, or, you know, to make you part of the team still so you don't feel like you're not out on your own.
Yeah, so 100%. So Tony were really big on... So whenever you want picked... or whenever you want, if you were injured. He always really liked if you were still there and part of the team. So I really bought into that in like my first couple of injuries that I had, you know, when it didn't heal and stuff. So even if it's just stuff like helping out with training, just like, I don't know, setting up, helping up set up drills, just little stuff, do you know what I mean, that just keeps you involved. Because you obviously still do your own training, you still do like fitness, still do gym, all that sort of stuff. So it were, you just had to sort of help out where you can and sort of don't be moping around the place, basically. Just still be positive, bring everyone's attitude up and still be sort of a motivation to the team, really. And that's what I try to be. Obviously, the first few weeks, it's hard because you're really good that you're out of the team and you're out of that environment. But I bought into that into that massive way, and he really liked that sort of I could do that.
Yeah, I mean, 2021, it was a funny old season. Rovers finished sixth on win percentage, of course, played Catalan in the semi-finals. Like you said, you suffered that wrist injury. I mean, 2022, there was lots of high hopes going into that season, weren't they, in terms of what could happen. It sort of maybe, well, it definitely didn't go the way that a lot of supporters really wanted it to. Challenge Cup semi-final. I mean, when you look at that game back, I mean, as a supporter, there's so much expectation going into that game, and it just seemed like there's so many things that just didn't pan out. I mean, Kane Lynette with his arm. Yeah. I mean, he had a bigger thing on than Corbin Sims. I mean, on that, Corbin Sims, how does he get away with that? Not wearing that thing on his arm.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah. Massive pad. But yeah, I remember the time it were all happening at, and I came back into the team just before Easter, and obviously we played Hull, went over to Toulouse, beat Toulouse, played Wakey the week after that, beat them. And we went on like a really good sort of streak of wins where we were in a real, I think it was seven, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
We went on about seven wins, and we went to play Leeds away at Headingley, and we lost, I think it was 12-0 we lost.
Yeah. I tell you what, mate, I'll be honest, I'll put that down as one of the worst games I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Rovers. It just, for whatever reason, it was just the weather, just everything just didn't work, did it?
No, just it didn't. And it seemed that it were like a, and I'm pretty sure, if I remember rightly, the semi-final were the week after.
Yeah.
And we were in a place where we were playing very, like very, very, very well. And it were just, it were weird. All of a sudden, it just seemed like, and it, honestly, I don't know what it were down to. It were nothing. I could not put my finger on it. And listen, that night, yeah, we didn't play as best rugby. But then the semi-final, it were weird. I always look back at it and think that Huddersfield had a game plan that day to really tear us apart, and they just executed it perfectly. Not like every supporter will, like, and I'm not saying they don't know rugby as well as us, because a lot of supporters do. But if you just look at the little details that Huddersfield had that day and what they did, like in their game plan, and just repeated it, just rinsed and repeat, and they just broke us down. And we didn't play well as well, which didn't help. So they had a good game plan. We really didn't play well, and we were just devastated because we'd been going so well. We were really confident. Huddersfield were going well, we know that, but what we dished up, and it hurt a lot. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what we learned a lot from in this year's semi-final. Because, yeah, that year we come away from it, and yeah, it were really gutting. And then obviously after that, that's when I think the dip started, and we were just in really bad form for quite a big chunk of the rest of the year, which were a shame, because like you say, we had a really good group and we'd started the season really well, but it was a shame that we couldn't maintain that.
Yeah, and of course we saw the departure of Tony Smith. I mean, a coach who brought you in to the club. I mean, what was your relationship with Tony Smith? And I mean, I do think he of course, he's gone to that lot, so we don't want to talk about that. But he did play a big part in where we are now. I think he raised standards. He gave belief to the supporters that actually, no, we should be better than where we are. And he did something about it. And yeah, of course, the departure was a bit sour. And I wonder how like you felt at the time as well. He brought you into the club, and everything sort of just went a little bit off the rails in it then. And we was in a little bit of like, I don't know, we was in sort of jeopardy. We didn't quite know what was going on. And I wonder how was you as a player that sort of translated to you as well, because we saw Danny Maggs come in as coach then. And
yeah,
it was just a bit of an uncertain time for everybody.
Yeah. It's funny you should say it, really, but it wasn't actually Tony who brought me in at first, because when I first signed with the club, it were Tim Sheens was still there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know, and he were, because he were there just before he left, and Tony came in for the remainder of that year. So when he left and I came in, I was sort of thinking, oh, God, obviously I'm coming in as a player now that hasn't been signed by Tony, but it turned out that I was sort of a player that he, like a young person who can be developed. Like Tony really likes to do that, and he did that with quite a lot of players, and I don't know. Like I said earlier, I learned a lot from him on how to play. We did a lot of one-to-one sessions where he'd bring me in and we'd have a little look at what I were doing in certain situations and asking me what I were doing here and why should I not be doing it, or why would this good, all that sort of stuff. So it really good, like the detail and the one-to-one that it'd give each player. So when he left, it were a bit of a weird one, really, because it were almost like, well, I felt like I were at a good spot with him, and it's almost like, again, you've got to sort of then start again. You've got like under a new coach. So I really enjoyed my time when Magsy came in, though, because like I say, I got on with when I mentioned that four earlier who I first came to the club under, like Stanley Jean, Dave Hodgson, Danny Maguire, Tony Smith. I really enjoyed being under all of them and sort of in my first couple of years at the club. And when Mags took over for the rest of that year, it were again really enjoyable. I loved playing under him, and it were a time where it were almost like, because I remember as well, we had so many injuries. It were crazy the amount of injuries we had. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And obviously you think back to that game that we played over at Hull on that last game of the season, and like the team that we had out, it's just madness that the team that we fielded that day and the result that we come away with. So yeah, that back into that year were enjoyable, but it was a shame that year that we couldn't push and do more.
Yeah, it was, and to be fair, mate, you've already preempted what I was going to ask you. I mean, that final game of the season, like, I mean, you played fullback, I think. I mean, you look at that team. I think Minnie was in the halves. I think Phoenix, he was in the halves with him. I mean, you look across the team, and the fact we couldn't also name a full squad for the game. I mean, Hull was shit. Don't get me wrong. They were absolutely off the res. They'd gone. But where did that? I mean, Albert Vette played the game of his life.
He
literally limped off. Where did that come from? Where was that desire? Was it the desire to beat Hull? Or was it as a group of players saying, do you know what? This is our last game as a team. Let's just give it everything.
Yeah, 100%. It was that, because all week, so I remember Mags getting us in and saying, look, we've got 16 men this week. He said, think of it as you want to think of it, like, let it play whatever you want to play on it. But ultimately, we've got a derby game this week. And I remember all week on Twitter, it was just like, bam, 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 all week, just about how it's going to be it's going to be a battering, it's going to be the biggest result in years, all that sort of stuff, all you're seeing all week. And you don't even go looking for it just finds you sometimes, you know, like all that sort of social media stuff, and you just couldn't stay away from it that week. And I think as a group, we just thought, like, sod it, you know what I mean? What have we got to lose? And it's funny, when Jake Connor played for FC, because I know Jake, and like before each game or like, because we have a couple of like mutual friends as well, and I remember him putting us into a group chat and just saying, what's going to happen this week, all that sort of stuff again. And even before game, Jake were in my ear giving me a load of like stick and that. But honestly, on that day, like, it's one of those things, you put anyone there and I think we'd have put up a fight, you know what I mean? It were a weird one, but it were, honestly, like, of all games I've played now, I think I've almost played 150 games in my career, and that's easily in my top five games, because it were, like I said, nobody had us down going to that game and winning. And that's almost what makes it extra special. And to say it were a derby, and it wasn't just a close win, we absolutely battered him that day. So, and funnily enough, actually, I think it were about 15 minutes into the game, I was getting up off the floor, and I got kicked in my hand on the side that my wrist went right with. And I looked down at my hand, and it was sticking in a direction where it shouldn't have been. And I was like, oh my God. So I've called physio on. And I fought with my wrist. I said, oh, my wrist's gone again. It's gone again. And I was looking down, and he said, no, it's not your wrist, it's your thumb. And I'm like, all right, I'm sort of happy that it won. I think it's so.
Right.
It popped. Well, what we thought, it popped my thumb back in. So I was like, it hurt a little bit. I was like, oh, like, cheers. I went to run to get back in because we had the ball at the time and we were attacking their goal line. Went to play carry on, and it just fell out again. And so I was like, I didn't really know what to do. So I called him back on. I said, it's falling out again. Turns out I just snapped the base of my thumb. And so we had to strap my hand up, and I played on for the rest of the game because literally if I'd have gone off, I don't even know like how we'd have reshuffled the team if, do you know what I mean? Because we just didn't have the personnel to sort of, I mean, we'd have found a way, obviously, but I just thought, I'm just going to have to carry on because, I mean, it were already broken. It wasn't going to get any worse sort of thing. So we just strapped it all up, and I played, I think it were 60 minutes with a snapped thumb that day as well. So honestly, it had everything. It was crazy.
I tell you what, though, I think that shows you probably how much adrenaline plays a big part in the game. That,
yeah,
you know, in any other job, if someone snapped the thumb, they'd be off, wouldn't they? But
yeah,
the adrenaline's running through your body, it's almost like that's probably the biggest painkiller.
Yeah, 100%. Because like after the game, you think, ouch, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As soon as it all starts to wear off a little bit. I mean, to be honest, it was one of those things we had like, obviously we did like end of season doing stuff. So you are sort of, it doesn't stop for a few days, but certainly after we'd done his end of season trip and come back to actually getting the operation, I get it sorted. Like before the operation, my hand looked like a balloon, and it were like, it really, really hurt. But that adrenaline, it lasts quite a long time as well, because you don't actually feel it. Like rugby game, there's normal rugby games. If you go home after, obviously you're sore and stuff, but it's only when the adrenaline actually wears off and you can finally get to sleep, when you wake up in the morning, you think like, wow, you know what I mean? That's when you certainly feel it.
Yeah. I mean, speaking about adrenaline, I mean, the whole derby, I ask every player who comes on and does the Heritage Cast about the derby, because it's one that every player is, you know, talks so highly about. I mean, you've had some special moments. Lachlan Coote got the glory, but it was you who set him on the way. That goes down as one of the best tries in recent memory for the derbies. It is a special game, isn't it? And for me, as a supporter who goes and watches Rovers all over Wakefield, Castleford, Warrington, St Helens, but when it's the derby, it just all then pale into insignificance. And I wonder, as a player, do you buy into it, or do you try and shelter yourself from it, and not get involved in all the derby? Is it possible to do that?
Nah. So when I were at Bradford, obviously our derby game would have been Leeds, but obviously being where it was, we never got to the opportunity to. And
was it your debut in a friendly?
Bradford Leeds friendly. Yeah. In a Jamie Peacock's testimonial game, it was.
Wow, that's a bit of a moniker, isn't it?
Yeah. But like I say, it was a weird one because I only played about 15 minutes, and it, like I say, we're friendly. I know there's not such as a friendly game, but it's one of those where, and they don't count, do they? I think like friendlies, it's one of those things where, and I did that. I think I played them the year after as well, because I played in Carl Ablett's too. Because he had a testimonial game when we played again at Headingley. But I never got to get like, because our derby then changed to like being against Halifax or something like that. Do you know, like,
a lot not more the same though, is it?
No, it's not. But like I said, them games therefore did have their have the times, and there were times where I don't know where they were really good games and all that sort of stuff. But we got to then experience it when we played. when we played Leeds in Challenge Cup and we beat them. It when Leeds were like in a really, really bad patch in Super League, and we got them probably just at the right time. And it was weird. I remember the draw being made, and I was sat in my front room, and it were almost like, you ever seen Football Factory?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're gonna say.
When they get Millwall, and honestly, and it was Millwall like away. When we got Leeds, I was buzzing just because it were gonna be my first sort of Bradford Leeds, you know, like proper game, and I got to play in it, and obviously we got to win. But then obviously coming to Rovers, you see, like, it's one of those derbies that you watch as when you're an outsider, when you don't play for the club, and they're always like some of the best games that you see. And I remember the year before watching Jimmy score that try in corner on Hooter, you know, like that sort of stuff. And but that game was going to be my first derby, and it was my first game back. Because after injury, it took me ages to get back in a team. Tony were telling me that I've got to play reserves, I've got to work on a couple of things, and it took me ages. And he gave me the nod that week, and I was like, oh God, you know what I mean? It were a big one to come back for. And I just remember walking out like, that's the loudest that I've heard Graham and Pat. You know, it were ridiculous. And obviously the band were playing, coming out, and
The ratings.
Honestly, like I said earlier about my top five games, that's in there too, because it were, I don't know, a very special day. One, because we got the win. Two, because I set that try up for Cootie, which sort of broke, give us that sort of like little bit of a barrier lead. And I'm just really happy that I come back into the team and we won, and it were like a really, really happy day. It was weird because we couldn't go out or anything or like celebrate, because we had to go to France like literally like the next day, I think it was. On that short turnaround over Easter, so but it were unbelievable. And like I said, that I want to end it year, and they were the one this year. Obviously I didn't play in it, where we went to their place and beat them well, but they are some of the most special games you can play in, and I'll never forget those games. Obviously there's some games that come and go that you're a part of, and the good wins and stuff, but them ones are extra special.
I tell you what, as well, though, Ethan. I mean, your mate, Ethan Minchella. Sorry, he seems to get right into the derby.
Well, there's a photo of me, Stoz, and Minnie celebrating a try that we're in that game that we played them at their place at end of the year. And honestly, like, you'd have thought we were all born in Hull, you know what I mean? you can see that it means that much to us. And it is. It's on my Instagram, the picture, and I'll put it up a couple of times. It's on the, when I put the post out about leaving, it's one of the photos on there, but you kind of, like, everyone buys into it. Crooks here, when Ben Crooks were at the club, every week when it were Derby week, he'd come in and that's all he'd shout all week, Derby week, Derby week, Derby week. Like, he'd get everyone involved. Tony, he wasn't a big fan of building it up to be the game that it is. It would have sort of, it's another game, like, yeah, we all won all this sort of stuff. But it were, he sort of liked to not play it down, but he didn't want us getting like wrapped up emotionally in it and doing stuff out of character, you know what I mean? So, but I remember Crooks Hero was the one who were hyping it up. And again, like, that's it. If it needs any outside sort of source to get you hyped up for a game like that, then like you say, you don't think much of it, but you need to be you need to get a little bit of it, needs to come from within in games like that, do you know what I mean? And certainly I feel like I said earlier, the especially our Bradford bus, like, we, even though we're not from there, we certainly adopted it and took it on board.
Yeah, and it's well appreciated. And you mentioned that 14-0 points to zero victory over Hull FC in the last season. I mean, it's your final season at the Robins. Huge change going on at the club. Willie Peters coming in as head coach. You know, you're going to have to look now to see all the transition in the playing squad, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, a fantastic season for the Robins, and you must have been delighted to be part of it, although bittersweet in terms of departing the club, but you still played a huge part in our relative success. You know, Challenge Cup final, Super League semi-final. a fantastic season for the Robins. And I don't know, when you look back at your days at West Bowling to Bradford, them early days at Rovers, finishing bottom of the league in the first season, and to see where the club is now and for you to play a part in it, you know, it must be a fantastic time for you. And obviously now you've got a fantastic move to Salford and your career progresses, and it's a special time for you.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said then, sort of, I remember my first year coming in, I think the club signed like 16 players, I think it was. A lot went out and a lot came in, and it was something like that number anyway. And excuse me. I remember like a few left, even the 16 that came in, only a few of them coming on like 1 year deals and stuff, but a few left, a few stayed. And I think if you look at the people who stayed, that's the sort of group that sort of, obviously other people have come in around that, come and gone, and but like that sort of group has stayed together now for like 4 years and sort of laid the foundations a little bit, I think, for where the club is at now. And yeah, it's nice to think that we've all been a part of, like you say, we achieved, I think, as a club a lot last year, and I think obviously they'll want to achieve more this coming year. And obviously I won't be there and stuff, and a few other boys have retired and left and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, there's a big change happening. And I'll always it's a very like fun place in my heart at the Robins, and I'll always wish them all the best and all that.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned top five games. Where does that Challenge Cup semi-final feature in that?
That's top three.
I mean, and score as well.
If we'd have won, then it'd have been at the very top. But like you say, you get the opportunity to play at Wembley and all that sort of stuff, and like that's the week, the whole week, and all that. It's unbelievable. But yeah. Obviously, I haven't spoke about Wembley much, you know, and I've only done it like a few times. But the game really annoying, because in my eyes we played pretty poor, and it's annoying because we turned up a couple of weeks later and we put like 50 odd points on Lee. So that's what made it a lot worse for me. That's what made it like, if we'd have gone there, played like mint, played unbelievable and still lost, then fair enough. But we went and didn't play very well and ended up losing, which were really, really disappointing. But it were a tough one to take. But like you say, the club will want it to do one better. So
I bet it's funny, Ethan, because as a spectacle for a neutral who's maybe not invested in any of the teams, they'd have thought that was a fantastic game in rugby league. But you're in the heart of it. You know the game plan, and you know whether it's been executed or not. And you know when mistakes are being made. And I suppose that's the difference, isn't it? And when you look back, you know, maybe a missed opportunity. But I do think these missed opportunities are sometimes the ones that then burn in you to give you the hunger to go the next time. And I mean, you've seen fantastic transition at the club now. And Willie Peters, I mean, one of the things that he did do is a tough pre-season. Was it one of the toughest pre-seasons you've ever done?
Yeah, well, toughest I've done, easily. We did, I remember we were going back to sort of the really early mornings again, and like you say, the late finishes. It were one thing that we were really big on last year was the recovery side of things. So Each day after a long day, we'd go have a swim, or we'd have like slots for recovery, because the days were really tough. And then obviously we went to Tenerife, and that took it to a whole new level in terms of the stuff that we did out there. Because I mean, we were all thinking before we went, it can't really get much tougher, but it did, and it were really, really hard. So it were a really tough pre-season. But like you say, that were what, in my opinion, laid the foundations for us to have like the year that we did, because fitness were never an issue, never. And it might have been in other years, you know what I mean? It were never an issue. And I think what we did in pre-season obviously allowed us to have the year that we did.
Yeah, and then before we finish, I mean, we've seen a few retirements this season. Lachlan Coote, Kane Lynette, Sean Kennedy-Dowell. I mean, players who have peaked, you know, their careers have hit the highest levels. I mean, particularly Sean Kennedy-Dowell as a captain. He's still remaining at the club, but when you look at players like him, Kane Lynette and you know, Lachlan Coote, and, you know, how do you take in what they do and how they behave around the side? And they must be fantastic people to be able to learn off.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's weird because, I don't know, they almost, what they really, it's almost like you sit down and you listen to people like that who have been there and done it. And if you don't, for me, like, it's stupid because they're trying to teach and put forward stuff that they've learned along the way. And you just look at some of the stuff that they've achieved in their career and the careers that them three have had. Like, it were really good to sort of be part of a team where you could sit there and learn from them. Like, especially my transitions to fullback, Cootie taught me a lot. And for that, I'm thankful, you know, like, just sort of, like I mentioned earlier, you know, when I first come to the club, almost being a sponge, but your peers can almost teach you as well, and as well as your coaches and stuff like that. So it's, but Skids as his captain, especially, like, he just led by example every single week. There wasn't a time where you didn't think he were ever going to do his job. You know what I mean? And he did it consistently for the time he were at Rovers, and the way he led the team and motivated the team to do what they do and to lead them to what they've achieved sort of this year and stuff. It were really, really good. And what helps as well is the three of them are, like, really good blokes. Do you know what I mean? Because there's times where you'll get teammates and you might not always get on with them and or might not be mates, like, outside of rugby and all that sort of stuff, or, you know, like, stuff like that. But
yeah,
them three are, like, genuinely good people and good blokes who you've got a lot of time for on and off the field. So I'm just happy that I could have played with them and they were part of my journey as well.
Yeah, and fantastic. And Ethan, I mean, you've got the move to Salford. Are you back in pre-season yet?
No, not yet. So how long have I got left now? What day is it? I've got end of this week and another week, but we've got, like, little check-in sessions that we'll be doing with the club and stuff like that. And then we then go back in on the 20th. So that's when we'll start. And then we'll go up to Christmas and then obviously back in after the new year. So, yeah, different environment, different team, but it's a new challenge and one that I'm really looking forward to sort of being a part of. I know a few of the boys are already there and I've played with them a couple before, and I know Kurt Haggett here, the assistant. I used to play with him at Bradford and stuff, and I've met Rolls quite a few times now. So yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. It's a fresh start and I think it's one that I needed in terms of just sort of where I were at in my career and sort of, well, what the future held sort of thing and all that sort of, without going too far into it. But yeah, I'm just really happy that the opportunity has come up now and I can sort of get going with it and let's see what we can achieve.
Yeah, well, there was one winger who left Rovers to sign for Salford, who's gone on to have an absolutely fantastic career in Super League and Rugby League, Ken Seo. And yeah, honestly, I wish you all the best. And if you achieve what he's achieved in the game, honestly, mate, you're going to have an absolutely fantastic time. You will go down as one of the fans' favourites for a long, long time, Ethan. It's been an absolute joy and pleasure to watch you playing for Hull Kingston Rovers, and we genuinely wish you all the best.
Thank you, mate. Appreciate it.